smoked meat.
No chemicals or preservatives, just 100% honest to goodness hickory smoked meat.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Boy, some chicken wings have really hit the spot.
You ain't got no better food like some chicken wings, some baby back ribs, some fries or something?
It has just two guys talking, am I right? We're just talking.
Hey, howdy, hey. Welcome to the Fat Guys of Smokers podcast. John, I'm going to be honest. Up until about a half a second before I said that, I was going to try an Irish accent. And then I decided that might offend some of our Irish listeners.
Hey.
So, you know.
If you can stoke the Irish... I feel like stoking the Irish temper. The Irish temper might drive some good interactions.
Yeah,
in.
That's true.
So I support it.
All right. I will work on it for next year's St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, I think you can work it in later today.
Yeah, I probably will. I'll be honest. And there is a 99% chance it turns Australian. So, you know.
Aye, laddie.
Good day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Love it.
Been going on, John?
I don't know. I also am just realizing that you wore a green shirt for this.
That was not on purpose, but I noticed it as the camera started rolling. So, you're welcome, America.
Nice. There's maybe a little bit of green in this gray.
Oh yeah. Did you ever play that game when you're in elementary school, like you forgot or something, and you'd be like, "The band on my underwear is green, so I'm covered." Or my socks have a little bit of green on them, so don't pinch me.
Yeah. We did play that game, and I was always the kid like, prove it.
Drop trow and show us.
If I can't see it, you're getting pinched.
That's fair. John, I want to know about your tacos.
My tacos?
I want a full rundown, because I had wanted to be there and wasn't able to. So.
Yeah, so... my boy got baptized this weekend, and...
Hey-o. I did make it to that.
You did make it to that.
It was wonderful.
But he was adamant that we had brisket tacos for his... we had a lunch. Figured all the family got together, so we just had a lunch.
Can you feed your whole family with one brisket?
I think I got lucky. So a couple of my nephews, the two oldest, they're seniors this year, were not there.
Oh.
And I think that saved me.
Yeah.
And then my niece, who she's probably a freshman or a sophomore, was not there as well. She had a soccer game.
Hmm.
But there was little meat left. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the boys went back for third and fourth.
Sure.
But it was... it was fun. It started out as just shy of a 20-pound brisket.
Mm.
So it was a big one.
Yeah.
Used Meat Church's new Blanco.
Ooh, on the brisket.
On the brisket.
And?
Fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Did that and then hit it with a little bit of the fajita.
Okay.
Just to kind of dry out some of those more Hispanic flavors, and it was so good. So I put it out there and I ran it at 200 with super smoke on the Traeger going until it hit 160.
Mm.
And that was, I put it on at 9. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning when I got up and wrapped it. Wrapped it, turned it up to, I think I went like 250, which is higher than I normally turn it up, but I was really worried it wasn't going to be done.
Hmm.
I had to have it off the smoker by 10 a.m. And it was just...
And what time did you say you started?
At 9.
Okay.
And I was just worried about it. It was so, yeah. It was big. It was big and thick.
Mm-hmm.
But did that, pulled it off, ended up being done about 9:30 in the morning. Wrapped it, still in its butcher paper, in a saran wrap.
Hey, okay.
Dude, I'm...
Works, huh?
For a long hold, I'm all about it. It destroys your bark. Like, there was no, like, thick, dry bark on this thing. That was pretty mushy, but it stayed in place. It didn't, like, slough off, which I was happy about.
Yeah.
So, but it was great. It had a phenomenal smoke ring on it. Maybe like the darkest, most pink smoke ring I've ever had on my pellet grill.
That's awesome.
And it was fantastic. Mm. Great flavor. Shredded part of it, chopped part of it, and like just real simple street tacos. So onions, a little bit of tomato, some hot sauce.
Do you chop the flat and shred the point?
Yeah, that's more or less what I ended up doing. Hmm. It was a wild day, man. Like, I'm just going to say, we were trying to get there on time. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we had the lunch over in the cultural hall at the church in the gym area. And we're taking stuff over. Haley's got these, like, giant mason jars that are like 2.5 gallons each that have water spigots.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob was carrying two of those in by their handles and caught his toe on the sidewalk. No. And they like just shattered everywhere outside. And he went down right in the middle of it.
Oh no.
And I was like, are you okay? Don't get blood on your suit. Because we were dropping that off and then going to the other church for his baptism. Mm. And man, it was a mess. So I didn't have my good knife with me. I've got a big cleaver that I like to use for chopping.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that. So I was trying to like make do with this other knife. But the brisket cut great. So cut it, chopped it. And then I had my meat claws.
Okay.
Like that I would use on a pulled pork.
Yeah.
That the point and that part of the flat that sits under the point just shredded like butter.
Oh.
So
that sounds awesome.
It was really, really good.
And what did you put on these tacos?
Just street taco style. So we had onion, cilantro. I think there were some tomatoes for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And then Robbie's favorite hot sauce, green Cholula.
Dude, since we've talked about it, I have purchased some green Cholula. I'm on board. I eat it on most things. So,
yeah. So we had that. Awesome. There was also chips and queso and salad. Rob loves salad. I don't know.
I could probably do with loving salad more, but I am what I am at this point in my life.
Yeah. So, but anyways, it was phenomenal. Really excited to use Blanco more.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
So.
Sweet. I cooked lobster.
You did cook lobster.
Yeah.
You said you didn't love it.
I didn't. You know, so I got a tomahawk, which I love the tomahawk ribeye, but... This is my third or fourth one that I've done. And I'm starting to realize, like, a lot of this, it's just kind of for looks. Like, it's hard to cook that thick of a steak without getting the outside so well done and the inside up to a good temperature. It was still really good, but I was just like, you know, maybe next time I would maybe just cut the bone off and cut the steak in half and then, you know... But then you'd get more seasoning and stuff.
Okay, maybe.
This one was too thick. I will say that.
How thick was it?
It was about 3 inches.
Ooh. Yeah, so it's almost more like a roast.
Yeah, exactly. Point. That's what it felt like. So.
Yeah, I am a big fan of thick steaks. I like them about 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm doing it that way, my favorite thing to do is reverse sear it. So I smoke it like at 180, real low and slow, till I get about 10 degrees away from where I want the center to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sear it off. And that's That's money.
See, and that's what I was going to do. I'm on my Weber, and I could have just put it on the cool side. I wish I would have, but I didn't. I just did the traditional sear it and then moved it to the cool side and let it come up. But I don't know. It was very good. I'm not trying to say I did a bad. It was a good steak. The lobster, though, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I did it perfect, but I followed the instructions pretty well. And I just don't know if it was my cup of tea.
So how did you do it? I'm curious about your method.
Okay, so here's what I did. So I cut the shell. Never even seen lobster before. I didn't even know that you had to cut the shell. So I cut the shell, pulled the meat out, set it on top just for looks. I rubbed it with avocado oil, and I put on it just some garlic and herb rub that I had. I think it was a McCormick rub.
Was it cooked or was it raw?
It was raw.
Okay.
Yeah. So did that, and then I put it on the grill and just put it on the cool side and kind of watched the temperature go up. And then it wasn't coming up fast enough, and I was getting impatient. So I threw it on the hot side just to, I don't know, do you sear lobster tail? Yeah. I don't know. So I did, and then I pulled it off at like 140, I think. And I made this little compound Cajun butter, which was actually like the best part. But nice. And so I was kind of basting that throughout. So anyway, it was fine. But I just felt like all I tasted was that compound Cajun butter. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, lobster normally has a flavor somewhere between shrimp and crab.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somewhere in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting here thinking, like, have I ever grilled lobster? And I don't know that I have.
So I've always steamed it.
I know you can
it.
Grill it.
Uh-huh.
And I've eaten grilled lobster and liked it, but I've never actually personally done it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I like want to go and try it.
You should. Because I would like to know
if
that's just how it is or if maybe I made a mistake somewhere.
Yeah, I love lobster. As a matter of fact, we were at a big customer appreciation event, and the meal was tri-tip and lobster.
Oh,
on a buffet.
Dang.
And one of the sales guys and I, we were sitting with a bunch of customers and having a fun time. And he and I went and we took an entire, I guess it was not an entire, it was a half hotel pan, but the half hotel pan was like heaping full of lobster tails. Jeez. And we brought the whole pan back to the table and we ate. These weren't like big colossal lobsters, but they were, I don't know, 3 or 4 ounce tails.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate the entire pan between 8 of us.
When you eat them like that, do they come with the shell on?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So do you just break the shell off and then
eat it? Yeah, these had been cut in half.
Okay.
And then grilled. So there were grill marks on the flesh.
Okay.
So we were just eating lobster.
See, and I saw some people that had done that. I wonder if that maybe would have... I don't know.
I don't know. We had a giant pile. Like, we had 2 plates that were just, like, heaping with the tail shells. And, man, it was delicious.
You dip it as you eat, or you just pound it?
Oh, no, we were dipping it in garlic butter.
Yeah.
That was a good night.
It was, like I say, it was fine. And also, for the sake of being fair to seafood, I live in Utah. So anything that we get is probably not super fresh and, you know, probably not the best. But
no, I think you can still do good seafood here.
Yeah.
I think if it's been frozen before, especially lobster, doesn't do well frozen. But...
we'll blame it on that. I don't even know if that's the case. I was just sitting at Smith's and saw them. I looked like they were on a good deal, so I grabbed a couple of them just to try it. So you should try it and let me know, because I'd be curious to see what you think.
We're going to have to try that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, for sure. So, speaking of sooner rather than later, it's almost St. Patrick's Day.
It is, which is one of my favorite food holidays.
Hmm, really? I did not know this.
I love corned beef.
Hmm.
Love it, love it, love it. And actually thought about corning my own brisket this year. And by the time I got around to it, I just didn't have time.
Not going to have time.
Huh? No. Hmm. Because it is a process to make corned beef.
Yeah. Fun fact, there's no corn in corned beef.
There is no corn.
That has baffled me for years. Like, why would you put corn in beef? But turns out I was mistaken.
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. And I don't remember what you were saying. Oh, that somebody was saying that they thought it was corned beef because of the coarse salt that looked like corn.
Yeah, coarse salt that looked like corn that they brined it in.
I actually think the reason they call it that is because they started packing it in tins during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it went in tins that looked like cans of corn.
Really? Interesting.
Could be totally wrong, but that's the story I've always heard. And
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, Mike, why don't you tell us about the process of corning beef?
I will. Have you ever corned your own then?
I have.
You have. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. I looked it up because I have not done it together. So here is just kind of a general, here's some of my notes that as I researched this I saw. So you got to prepare your brine. You mix together water, salt, sugar, and spices, such as peppercorns, coriander seeds, mustard seeds, bay leaves. The exact combination of spices is going to depend on whatever you want. It sounds a lot like I have brined a turkey before, and that's kind of the vibe I'm getting here. Like the sugar and the salt are the chemical thing. Everything else is just personal preference. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say corned beef like has a pretty standard flavor profile.
Okay.
That you hit on coriander, whole mustard seed, peppercorns. Yeah. Like that's very traditional corned beef. I'm sure you could add other things to get different flavors, but it's turkey. I feel like so very like blank.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. It's almost encouraged. Like, oh, do a citrus one, do a maple bourbon one, do
that's a good point.
Corned beef is corned beef.
It has a flavor all on its own.
Yeah, and it's a pretty traditional pickling brine.
Okay, so you place the brisket. That's the most common thing that people use. I don't know. Does that mean you could use any other cut of beef, do you think?
Yeah, I would think you could. Brisket is the traditional cut, but I don't see why you couldn't use like an eye of round or a top sirloin or something.
Yeah, something like that. Hmm. Anyway, you put it in a large container. It's got to be sealable because you're going to cover. You want to cover the whole piece of meat. Fully submerged in your brine mixture.
5 gallon bucket.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Like the brine bucket or whatever. That's my favorite way to brine things now.
Yeah. There's a bucket in my garage that says brine bucket. Mm. Actually, except now I've got the pickle buckets.
Oh, yeah. You told me that and I saw them and I'm going to go get one. So you refrigerate. Now, this is something I didn't know because I have brined a turkey. And you do it for 24 to 48 hours, and that's it. This, you're going to leave it in the refrigerator for 5 to 7 days.
Yes, sir.
During this time, the beef will absorb the flavors of the brine and undergo the curing process. So you're not necessarily brining, you are curing.
Yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and it's a, when I've done it, and I don't remember where I read it, it was probably on AmazingRibs.com. Go Meathead. I always go out every day and just kind of shake the bucket a little bit.
That makes sense. Move things around a little.
Make sure nothing is settled to the bottom, that all of the sugar and salt stays dissolved. And yeah. Hmm. So that's what I do.
Right on. And then you rinse it off and you cook it. Boiling, gross. Braising or slow cooking until tender.
Yeah. I think the one thing that it skipped there is I normally do a fresh water soak. When I've done it, just to pull some of the saltiness out of
it. For how long? Just for like a few minutes? Or
no, 24 hours.
Oh, okay. So after you pull it out of the brine, you rinse it off.
Rinse it off, and then I soak it overnight.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. Hmm. So I looked at some of the notes on... I mean, I think we've talked about these before, but you know, some of the reasons you brine something, like, why do this at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a curing process, but it's not really a preserving process, like...
Yeah.
Like a dry cure or something else would
be. It's not like jerky. You still got to refrigerate it. The salt and everything probably helps, but it's not really for the preservation.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. But the reasons that, as I went through, I came up with were, one, you retain moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason you brine the turkey, right? You're trying to get moisture.
Right, so it doesn't dry out. Yeah.
Distribute flavor. It tenderizes it.
Hmm.
So I was actually thinking about this, that I wonder about like using a little bit of pineapple juice in this process.
Why?
Because pineapple juice is a great tenderizer.
A tenderizer, huh? Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Hmm. And then the, I don't know, I feel like this is maybe a little duplicated, but just seasoning.
Yeah.
So getting, again, just it's another way to get flavor
in. Another way to put some flavor in, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But with that, should we pivot to our shout-out?
Let's do it. It's kind of weird timing, but let's do it.
Well, it's important, though.
Yeah.
Because once you have corned beef, this is a barbecue podcast, after all.
Tis indeed.
When you take a brisket
mm-hmm.
and you subject it to torture of being brined, I feel like you owe it the decency of smoking it.
Yeah, I'm on board.
And something magic happens when you smoke a corned beef. It turns into the magic of pastrami.
Mm.
So let's fade over here to my favorite New York landmark of all time, Cat's Deli.
Cat's Deli.
Let me, ooh, that's really loud. We'll just leave that on mute.
That's fine.
But this is a old school Jewish deli on Houston Street. Looks like Houston, but you don't want to call it Houston.
They'll call you a loser, huh?
They will. It's Houston.
Okay.
It's Houston. And you walk into this place. If you've ever seen the movie When Harry Met Sally,
mm-hmm.
And Meg, have you seen that movie before?
Yeah. Well, I've seen parts of it. I don't know that I've seen it all.
I think the most iconic scene is probably where Meg Ryan is making certain noises in public.
Yeah.
They're in Cat's Deli when that's happening.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, super famous pop culture place. But you go in there, and I've been there at all hours of the day. And it is jam-packed every single time.
Really?
Yeah. One of these sandwiches, I just saw somebody else talking about one of these. And this is, let's see if we can get back. I think this is a video that shows them.
If you're listening, hit this YouTube video up because...
You will be hungry.
Looks so good. We're just watching somebody cut heaping piles of pastrami. And piling it on a sandwich.
It's massive. When I say that the sandwiches come out 8 inches tall.
Yeah.
I am not kidding. And you get in and it's this big U-shaped line.
Uh-huh.
And as you're walking through, there are guys cutting pastrami everywhere. And they're handing you samples.
Just to make sure that that's...
So by the time you get your sandwich, and one of these sandwiches is like $35.
Good heavens.
But you are so full. And you
that's probably a pound of pastrami that we just watched that man put on a sandwich.
I bet you it's closer to like 2 or 3 pounds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dude. It's massive.
That looks fantastic.
But so to make pastrami, you smoke the corned beef up to 160 degrees. And then where you would normally wrap it, and you still can finish it on the smoker up to, you know, 203. The tradition way to do this is you take it and you put it in a steamer and you steam it from 160 or wherever your stall is up to 203.
And we were talking about this before. That's mostly like for convenience purposes, like to just get it up there, right?
One, it's faster. There's a lot of moisture that's kept in there.
At that point, your smoker has probably done what it was going to do.
Look at that. That's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, if you're listening, I would implore you to watch this on YouTube because that's a good-looking sandwich. Oh, my gosh.
If there was ever a chance to get a pastrami Reuben at Cat's Deli, you need to do it.
Dang.
So you do that, and it's just so stinking good.
Yeah, that looks fantastic. Have you made pastrami before?
I have.
Okay.
Several times.
Really?
One of my favorite things to do with a brisket and corned beef.
Dude.
So we were at Costco tonight. We went for rotisserie chicken and $70 later, I don't even know what we left with.
Isn't that always how it goes in there, man?
But one of the things I left with was a corned beef that I think Haley's thinking we're going to have corned beef and cabbage. And if we do, like, I'm not upset about that. But I'm gonna smoke it. That was my plan.
You got a corned beef.
Yeah.
So this is a brisket that they have done all this stuff.
It's a brisket flat. It's like 3 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. You can buy them at Sam's Club, Costco, and you can buy them year round.
Okay.
They're just most prevalent right now.
And what does this cost a person? Like a brisket price?
No, I think this 3 pound one, I think it was $17.
Oh, that's worth checking out then.
Yeah, okay. Like it's not bad. I mean, it's not a packer brisket by any means. I mean, it's five.
Right.
I think this was $5 a pound. I think I saw them for like $3.75 at Smith's.
Okay.
So you have lots of opportunity. Like you can do it. Doing the whole packer brisket, like it's a process, and it's kind of fun. It's something that you don't always get to do.
Right.
But that's. Mm.
I might have to try that. Yeah. I have never had corned beef. I mean, I'm sure that I have. I know I've had sandwiches with it on and had it in things, but I've just always so scared. Like, what does the corned mean? What's going on there? So
you can. There are few things in this world better than some red potatoes, corned beef, and cabbage.
Mm.
Like, it is such a basic meal. But there's so much flavor that can be had there. And then you have leftover corned beef and potatoes. And that means you're having corned beef hash homemade for breakfast.
I was just thinking, we have talked about corned beef in a can that just Alpo's out onto the grill.
Yeah, my wife hates it.
Really?
Haley,
I mean, is it the same thing as, like, what you buy just canned?
Uh-huh.
This is corned beef. How does it come? Is it, like, ground? Is it chopped? How does it fit in a can?
Corned beef hash?
Yeah.
Or is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
We're talking about the Alpo?
Oh, it comes as corned beef hash.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's chopped up with all the other
stuff. Yeah, it's all just cubed up and...
That's right. I was thinking it was just corned beef. Okay.
You can just buy corned beef.
In a can? Really? Yeah.
Just like you can buy roast beef in a can. What our grandparents used to eat.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Interesting.
So, all things corned beef,
I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, highly suggest it.
All right.
So.
I'm supportive. So, you can just take a corned beef and smoke it and it becomes a pastrami.
Yep.
Do you put more, like, the thing I was reading said, smoking, obviously... But also pastrami usually has more of a spice profile.
Yeah, there's a pastrami rub that you put on it.
Oh, really? A specific one. Okay.
Yep. And this I know is on AmazingRibs.com. And we shout them out all the time.
Because they're amazing.
Yeah. Well, it is where my love of smoking started.
Sure.
Was on that website. But he's got a recipe for almost as good as Cat's Deli pastrami on there. And it talks about the whole process of taking your brisket and trimming it and brining it and has a great recipe for the pastrami rub.
Okay. Is it just more peppery and stuff? Is that what you would say?
Since we're talking about it.
Oh, that's true. I guess we have technology now. Let's check it out. Dude, this Cat's Deli place. I mean, are they anywhere but New York, or are they just in New York? Is there just one of them, or are there a bunch of them? There's
just one Cat's Deli, to my knowledge.
Dude, I could watch this guy slice up that brisket all day. Or that pastrami all day, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, so the title of this article with close the recipe. Smoked pastrami recipe that's close to cats. And it, like,
I feel like that's the best way to do something like that. Not say, this is just as good or anything like that.
Well, dude, he knows, there's Meg there Ryan. It is,
yeah.
Huh. He knows, like, this is an institution.
Yeah.
You can't, like, saying that you're as good or better than cats, like, you'll get shanked.
Hmm.
All right, so pastrami rub. Here we go. What is in meat churches? So you've got black peppercorn.
Black pepper.
Whole coriander powder. Brown sugar. Paprika. Garlic powder. Onion powder. Whole yellow, parentheses, white mustard seeds.
Hmm.
And mustard powder.
Okay.
So,
a lot of pepper then.
A lot of pepper.
It's like pepper's the star.
Yeah, some coriander, garlic, onion,
mm-hmm.
and then that mustard is probably one of the more unique. The coriander and mustard are one of the more unique flavors to it. So,
interesting.
Man, I'm like jonesing for a pastrami sandwich right now.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Hot pastrami with kraut. And spicy mustard.
When you buy corned beef, is it cooked?
No.
It's not cooked. It's just been brined. Then.
It's brined.
So then you would just smoke it. Do you smoke it just like you would a brisket?
Yep.
Same amount of time and everything?
Yeah, except like I have never seen a whole packer corned beef.
Hmm.
It's always a section, typically of the flat.
Right.
So it's going to go a lot faster.
Hmm. But it's not going to be a 10-12 hour cook.
It'll hit it with the rub, put it out at 180, as much smoke as you can get on it. Let it get to 160 and steam her up. Or let it ride out to 203.
Yeah. But now that we're talking about that, I mean, or now that we have talked about that, that makes perfect sense. I mean, at that point, the smoker is basically an oven because it's absorbed what it was going to get out of it. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
So,
all right, I'll give it a shot. I'm down to try anything. I love me a good pastrami burger. So,
dude, it's so good, and when it's like fresh and hot, and like, I might need a minute. Meg Ryan had it right, folks. That is what Cat's Deli will do to you.
I'll have what she's having. Oh,
oh man, Mike. We need to go on a road trip.
Dude, seriously, that would be pretty sick. Go see Cat's Deli. Go see Memphis in May. Go to all the Texas joints.
Dude, we could spend an entire summer doing nothing but road tripping.
You need to start teaching so that we can just take summers off and go road tripping with our ladies. I don't think they'd enjoy it as much, though.
What are we going to do with the kids?
Dude, forget those kids. They'll figure it out.
We need like a whole schoolie just to haul them everywhere.
That's true. That is true.
All right. Well, I think we're at that time. I need to go put my foot up. I guess we didn't even talk about this.
Oh, yeah. John's an invalid.
With all the grace and suave that I have, I sprained my ankle this weekend.
Oof.
So, everyone keeps telling me I need a better story, and I'm like, guys, this is so pathetic. Like, I can't even think. I stepped over a snowbank, threw some stuff from my truck into a dumpster, trying to clean up Sunday morning before a meeting. And as I stepped back over this pile of snow, it was like right on the edge of where there was concrete and where there was asphalt.
Okay.
So on the concrete side, no black ice. Mm-hmm. On the asphalt side, as I stepped back over, black ice.
Oh, man.
And I just went.
That hurts just thinking about it.
Rolled my ankle to the inside. Had to get help up off of the parking lot. Like, it's dark. It's cold. Like, nobody's out. I got lucky. Someone else was coming to do a different meeting. They came. They helped me up. I was like, oh, I can put weight on it. It's a miracle. Went to my first meeting and was sore, but was like, oh, I just rolled it. It's not that big of a deal. Went to our, you know, regular worship service. Couldn't really walk. Like, it hurt. My buddy looked at it, who's a therapist, and he's like, yeah, you may want to go get some x-rays. I went to the children's meeting to help in there.
That's where I saw him coming in, and I was like, what'd you do? I just rolled my ankle. I mean, it looked painful. I felt bad for you.
Little did I know, our buddy went and found my wife and said, he needs x-rays after we're done at church. And it was good, because by the time we got to the Instacare, like, I couldn't put any weight on it at all. I was...
all swolled up, huh?
I was a hurt pup.
Is it still swollen, or has that kind of gone now?
Yeah, it's it's not quite the soccer ball that it was, but it's still a good grapefruit.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not upset about it. Crap happens. I'm grateful to, you know, have technology and good people around me. And I mean, one of the guys at church is like the head of, you know, ankle surgery for the whole country. He leads one of the,
he like
one
of the medical boards. On it, doesn't he? Jeez.
I think he's the chairperson for the, podiatry surgical boards of anyway, I don't know what he is other than really smart, and if someone has to cut into my ankle, that's the guy who's gonna do it.
That's the one. So. Huh?
But
anyway, yes. John's gotta put his foot up. So
my foot hurts. I'm gonna go put some ice on it and lift it up. So with that, you wanna do the accent? You wanna say happy St. Paddy's Day?
Happy St. Paddy's Day to y'all. You, that
good. I'm John, he's Mike, we're out.
Thanks for listening to the Fat Guys with Smokers podcast. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Facebook. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to subscribe so you don't forget to tune in for even more nonsense from a couple of Fat Guys with Smokers.
Don't forget to like, subscribe.